Why do we have preaching in church services? I want to begin with that. Why do we have a time when God's word is shared in our churches? It's because we believe that the preaching of God's word brings life. It brings liberation. It brings deliverance. It brings liberty. Preaching is that spirit-empowered proclamation of the gospel of Christ. Everything else we do in Christianity is all centered on Jesus. That's why the Bible calls him the A and the Z of the Christian faith. Some versions will call him the author and the finisher. It begins with Jesus. It ends with Jesus. That's why Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, would say to them, I resolve to know nothing while I was with you, except what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was why Paul said, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with what? The demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So when a sermon is given, which is a divinely inspired address for the purpose of scriptural instruction or exhortation, especially taking a text from the Bible, it is for one purpose. And what is it? To help you see who you are in Christ. Every message, it's all about glorifying Jesus and asking you to respond to who Jesus is. So that takes me to the next point. If preaching is all about proclaiming the gospel of Christ, then who is Jesus Christ? That's very easy to answer. Romans chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4 says that Jesus is the son of David. He is the descendant of King David according to his human genealogy, his lineage. If you trace his family lineage, you will trace him back to King David. But that is who he is according to the flesh. But according to God's eternal purpose, Jesus is not just the son of David. Jesus is the divine son of God. And Romans 1:4 clearly says it, that Jesus was appointed the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness, according to the power of the resurrection from the dead. So Jesus is not just any person. He is God in human form. And what separates him from everyone else is that although he lived on earth, he never sinned. And he died and resurrected from the dead. And that is why he is called Jesus the Christ. So when we preach, the preaching is all about Jesus being Christ, the anointed one. Jesus being the Messiah, the sent one. And that leads me to the next question. Why did Jesus come? And it's very simple. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15 answers it clearly. Why did Jesus come? This is a faithful saying if you read it in King James Version. And it's worthy of all acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to do what? To save sinners. That's the answer the Bible gives. Why was Jesus sent to save sinners? I couldn't have put it better than Jensen and Megan. We are all sinners. But Jesus came and died for our sins so that we will have his life, so that we would no longer be subject to the spiritual principle of separation from God. Jesus was sent by God to save us from our sins. And Paul said, I am the worst of all sinners. But Jesus came to save me from my sin. If that's why Jesus was sent to save you and I from our sin, then the next question would be, how do I become saved? How do I accept Jesus? How do I benefit from this sacrifice that Jesus had come to do? And the answer is on that screen. Romans chapter 9. A lot of verses in Romans chapter 9 explains it. Salvation, which comes by trusting Christ, which is the message we preach, is already within easy reach. That's how the New Living Translation in my kids' Bible put it. It says, in fact, it is already in your lips and in your heart. For if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and do what? Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. So two things. How do I accept this salvation that Jesus offers? Believe and confess. Say after me, believe and confess. Everyone say after me, please. Believe and do what? Again, louder. Believe and yeah, let's break it down so that everyone can understand it. Believe and confess. Good. Thank you. I think the church here is stronger than the church there. So salvation that comes from trusting Christ is within easy reach. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. What do you need to do? Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The next question that I want us to answer, now that I am saved, what next? And that's exactly what Jason shared with us and Megan. What next? Get baptized. Now that I'm saved, get baptized. Salvation means you have been born into the body of Christ, into the kingdom of God. So, belong, participate, play your role. If you are a member of the body of Christ, belong and participate in a local church. Don't just be online and wish us well. Once in a while, pop in and join us. Belong and participate. Share in the Holy Communion. In fact, theologians believe that two doctrines that Jesus left, that everybody of every block of Christian denomination agree with, is baptism and Holy Communion. There may be differences on how it's administered, but every Christian, as long as a person believes in Jesus as our Lord, they believe in what? Baptism in water and in Holy Communion. So share in the Holy Communion and submit yourself to training and discipleship. That's why Jesus said to them, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey, not some things, everything I have commanded you. To round off, because we need to have time to do the baptism, to round off, what happens to me in baptism? What happens to me? Yes, I am physically dipped into a pool of water and then brought out. And then what? What happens? Yes, baptism, I will explain a little bit of that in the next slide. It shows that I fully identify and fully participate in the sufferings of Christ. And by that I mean his crucifixion, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So, if I have believed with my heart and confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, being baptized just shows is a public declaration that I do not just confess and believe it, I'm ready to let the whole world see that I am fully committed to it. It is a public demonstration of that personal decision you've made to follow Jesus. So once you've made that decision, identify with what Christ has done for you. Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4 shows it clearly. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. What does that mean? It presupposes that because you believe in Jesus by faith, when Jesus died on the cross, you died to your old life of sin. When Jesus was buried, your old life of sin got buried with him. And when Jesus rose from the dead, you got raised into a new life that you now live by faith in Christ. That is the simple truth. You don't need to travel back in time 2,000 years ago to go and see Jesus killed on the cross. No. All you need to do is to believe and confess. And once you believe that, when we hold you here and pray over you, as we dip you into water, what are we trying to say? You are demonstrating that you are dead to sin. And as we bring you out of that water, what are you trying to indicate? You are saying, I am a new person. I am a child of God. I have the life of God in me. The Spirit of God is at work in me. My sins are forgiven. I am no longer under the bondage of sin. I am now translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I am a child of God. The Spirit of God has been deposited in me, and I'm ready to serve Jesus on earth and to follow him to heaven when he comes. I thought this is a place for you to put your hands together and give a clap. So, finally, what if I've not yet made the decision to be a Christian? What if I haven't yet made that decision? No one is going to pressure you because it's a personal decision. But all I can do is to implore you, is to, I don't know how to explain it. I lack words, but I don't think you've got anything to lose by not making that decision as quickly as possible. It doesn't have to be today. I'll be glad if it is today. But there is nothing to lose. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because even if you don't make the decision today, because you are here, the Holy Spirit will continue to repeatedly tell you, think about it. Consider what that young man said. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus. So he would continue to talk to you in your heart. And I want you not to delay. If you don't make the decision here, you can make that decision at home. You could just kneel down and say, Jesus, I accept you. I confess that you are my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead for my benefit. Come into my life. But before we go into the baptism, I want to give a chance to anyone who wants to make that decision today. Why is it important? 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 4 verse 7 would say, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. That's the end of the message. Simple and straightforward. But then, before I drop the microphone, is anyone here who wants to say, I want to publicly declare, just like Jason and Megan had done this morning, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. Anyone, don't feel shy about it. Just raise your hands and I will pray with you wherever you are. Anyone who had never made that decision before, you want to publicly say, Jesus, I give my life to you. If there is no one, can we bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you for the preaching of your word. We thank you that Jesus is not only the son of King David, but he is the divinely sent Son of God, who died for our sins and was raised for our justification. Lord, today, as we reflect on your death and resurrection, we pray that the blessings inherent in Christ that belongs to us will begin to manifest in our lives. We pray specifically for those getting baptized today, that you would pour your spirit upon them. We pray that as they progress in their Christian faith, that you would walk with them. Their lives have never remained the same since they made the decision to follow you. Therefore, empower them with your Holy Spirit. And I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice who is yet to make this decision, that you, by your hand, will continue to pull them towards yourself until they make the decision to follow Jesus. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.